Right now on VFN TV, the Republican National Convention and the Democratic National Convention is right around the corner. Is this going to be 1968 again? President Obama speaks the truth about law enforcement and what they face. A financial planner says we're no longer talking money because we feel like everything's about to crash. And love, how do we love as Christians in the midst of crisis? Right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
Another headline read, does God play softball? Hail the size of softballs destroy thousands of homes and autos.
Terrifying storms lasting up to softball-sized hail.
A cyber event could actually shut down power grids, financial institutions, cause absolute chaos across the nation.
And it is with great sadness that I share we have not 20 but 50 casualties. In addition to the shooter, there are another 53 that are hospitalized.
During the calls, he said he was doing this for the leader of ISIL, who he named and pledge loyalty to.
Nations shall be shaken, but kingdoms will be jolted.
Voters in the United Kingdom have voted to leave the European Union.
We are in World War III, and so the Congress should be dealing with this.
So there is. We've been infiltrated.
Who do you think's writing your foreign policy?
When the president of the free world stands and say that Islam is a religion of peace, he creates the climate. He provides the climate, the perfect climate to create more terrorism.
Embracing a perverted interpretation of Islam that calls for war against America and the West.
Islam is about peace and brotherhood.
One of the prophetic dreams God gave us was how this current administration cut a covenant with Islam, and we're seeing specifically it looks like this thing is being walked out.
I just felt it in my spirit. I felt like the Lord was saying to me, if they divide Jerusalem, if America has a hand, if the Secretary of State or the President or whoever has a hand in causing Israel to divide Jerusalem and giving up that land for peace, I will divide America.
This begins at the local level. This is going to be a county-by-county fight. So sheriffs and pastors become two of the most important people groups.
The pastor and the sheriff are some of the most important folks in your community.
It's going to be full-scale war. It's going to be with all the capabilities of the IDF.
Best formula for achieving peace remains two states for two peoples, in which a demilitarized Palestinian state finally recognizes the Jewish state.
We can actually win the hearts over if we go out and begin to evangelize and share the love of God. Militant times are coming, but it's time for the church to be able to rise up.
The trend of embracing Israel will overcome the trend of maligning Israel.
Only a united church can heal a divided nation.
God is calling out the evangelists to arise and to proclaim the gospel with miracles, signs, and wonders, because this is the season for the glory of God to shine, and the world is going to know that Jesus the Savior is alive and well.
Let me be the one to at least share the good news about the Chinese. They are having the world's largest revival. About 28,000 to 30,000 people coming to Christ in China every single day. That's about a million a month.
What many say is the greatest spiritual awakening in southern West Virginia history.
Lord, you're going right to change.
Billy Graham's mantle's coming on this nation. There was coming a call when the Gentile Rus would begin to unite together all across the globe and begin to declare, your people will be my people. We're declaring Jubilee is time for another great messianic awakening.
We Catholics,
abbiamo ricevuto tanto.
We've
dal
received
movimento di Azusa Street.
So much from the Azusa Street.
Ma vogliamo a voi protestanti.
We want to ask you Protestants. We want to ask for your forgiveness for not respecting the love of the law of
per
Jesus.
Non aver usato.
I want to walk with those who walk in agreement. I'm telling you, we can make a difference. But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which will be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
Smith Wigglesworth, he made this statement just before he died. Whenever the Word comes together with the Spirit, we will have the greatest spiritual awakening the world has ever known. If you say yes, I will go. Yes, I will mobilize. If you can't go, then you're responsible to mobilize those who can go.
This is so exciting to watch all these things take place. You know, we live in God.
Yes.
We abide with God, and we're excited about the things of God. And I believe the church is going to get excited again about the things of God.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Well, the Republican National Convention and the Democratic National Convention is just ahead of us. Did you see the Time magazine when they talked about, is this going to be 1968 again? Well, the prophetic words are, because we told Israel they had to go back to their 1967 borders, that's what our president, President Obama, told Israel, and has given them a difficult time ever since, which are undefensible borders. The word came out by Chuck Pierce, a prophetic believer out of Zion Ministries out of Texas, that we are going to have to go back to the 60s ourselves. We're not going to be in the 60s, but the issues that we had in the 60s that we're going to have now in this time frame because of that. In addition, he said that we're going to have, because the root of racism is anti-Semitism, being racist towards Jews because they're Jews, that's what that means. Because of the increase of racism towards Israel, then America is going to go deeper into that issue. Until we get it right with Israel, we won't have it right in America. But he did say it will get bad for a while, but America will get beyond this issue. It'll be resolved. What does that mean? We're days away now from this crisis hitting. And crisis is not only hitting in America. We have people that are talking about, who are financial planners that you'll hear on today's program, that are saying that we're not even planning money anymore. We already know the economy's going to crash. We're talking about business and everything crashing. I mean, that's totally amazing when you think about that. But first of all, we want to go to the memorial service in Texas where the slain Dallas police officers were having a memorial service, and our president spoke, and he said something very powerful. This is the first time in all of his presidency I ever heard him talk specifically about what officers go through on a day-to-day basis and the position that we put them in. As a matter of fact, let's take a look now.
And then we tell the police, you're a social worker, you're the parent, you're the teacher, you're the drug counselor. We tell them to keep those neighborhoods in check at all costs and do so without causing any political blowback or inconvenience. Don't make a mistake that might disturb our own peace of mind. And then we feign surprise when periodically the tensions boil over. We know those things to be true. They've been true for a long time. We know it. Police, you know it. Protesters, you know it. You know how dangerous some of the communities where these police officers serve are. And you pretend as if there's no context. These things we know to be true. And if we cannot even talk about these things, if we cannot talk honestly and openly, not just in the comfort of our own circles, but with those who look different than us or bring a different perspective, then we will never break this dangerous cycle.
That is so refreshing, being a former law enforcement officer, to hear for the very first time with such exact truth about how officers have been put in very tragic situations, put in political situations, and their very life is at stake because of the community that they've been sent in. And in addition, our president says, and you protesters, you even know how difficult it is. I'm telling you, this is the first time, and it was very encouraging to hear the truth come out. But we have to understand how this thing works, that under Saul Alinsky's techniques and rules for radicals, and where President Obama was mentored, Hillary Clinton was mentored by Saul Alinsky, it says you first have to polarize before you organize. So that means everything has to be divided before you begin to organize. The question is, are they planning on having a national police force? Did the retired chief of Philadelphia, who's just said he finished a report up, that he says we need a national police force, or we definitely need to at least cut down our 18,000 police forces down to 9,000, cut them in half in the next 10 years? Listen, there's state independence. There's a lot of things going on. And you're seeing these issues happen. You want to settle down on one issue and say, we need to focus on this. But you have to understand, there's many fires in this oven. They're doing quite a few things at the very same time. And you have to pay attention to all of them at the same time. Why? Because if you focus on one, the other one's going to take out the country. I believe that if we humble ourselves before God, we pay attention and hear what the Spirit's saying to us, that God will bring us through this thing and bring us to a place of revival. But also know this, that they're saying specifically that war is coming. War is coming. As a matter of fact, when we get back from this break, we're going to hear what they're talking about, a war taking place. Make sure you join us after the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Talked to her and she said, I just left Seattle. And she said, I was in a meeting in Seattle, Pastor. She said, I know I never met you, but I've been going here a long time. I said, yeah, I know that. She said, I just left a meeting in Seattle. And she said, Dr. Cho was the speaker. And she said, I heard him say in Seattle that the Lord told him, he said, I'm about to pour out my spirit in America. And he said, well, Lord, I said, are you through with America? Are you through with America? It looks like that, you know, everything's just going haywire. Are you through with America? And God said, oh, no. He said, I'm not through with America. He said, I'm about to pour out my spirit there. He said, as a matter of fact, get your atlas out of your attaché case. And he got his atlas out and opened it up. And the Lord said, point. And it landed right on the dot of Pensacola. And the Lord spoke to Cho and said, I'm going to pour out my spirit first here like a match head. It'll burn like a match head, bright, and it'll be powerful. And he said, then it will go over to the Mississippi River. And it'll back up across Florida again, come down into the peninsula of Florida, go up the east coast down through the west and the southwest and shoot out to the northwest. And before my coming, all of America will be ablaze with the glory of God.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Data Radio program. Every single day we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well.
And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partner for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV. Your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. These are some interesting days, aren't they,
yes,
John?
Yes, they are.
They
goodness.
Are so interesting.
Days that require wisdom and prayer, right?
Lots of wisdom. If you're wondering why we went 7.5 years without facing that kind of truth about what law enforcement is really dealing with,
yeah,
it's because it's part of Rules for Radicals. It's part of Saul Alinsky techniques.
It's part of the
first
narrative.
First, you have to actually polarize before you organize. So you're going to look now at some organizing techniques. And as typical, most human beings just go, oh, this everything's good now, because even though it was 7.5 years of being beat upside the head and reality,
it finally came out. Something good. Okay. I knew it was there all along.
And I want to say on behalf of our law enforcement that, you know, that's the truth. You know, being former law enforcement, I know that's what you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. But hold on. Some interesting times are coming. Mm. One is a financial advisor right here. His name is Michael Krieger, and he's saying very specifically that we don't even plan finances anymore, because we believe financial crisis is not the only thing coming. A crisis, a collapse of everything is coming. As a matter of fact, let's take a look now.
I'm talking about Michael Krieger at LibertyBlitzkrieg.com. And it's actually bigger than an economic downturn. Far bigger than an economic downturn would be a disintegration and ultimately an overthrow of the entire status quo regime, the entire post-World War II, establishment. And that's way bigger than an economic decline. It's even way bigger than an economic decline that we saw in 2008, 2009. Because it was obvious to me, and I know a lot of your guests say the same thing, that this has one way to go, which is a complete collapse of everything, right? I mean, we're going to need to start over. There's too much debt. There's too much corruption. There's too much BS. There's too much war. There's too much everything that's bad in this world. And debt is one aspect of it. So, yes, will everything ultimately have to start from scratch? Will we have to wipe out the debts one way or the other? Of course we will. I guess the reason I've stopped writing about that and talking about that recently is because it's so obvious. And so it's not just the debt. It's not just the economies that are going to collapse. It's everything, the political establishment, the social fabric, all of these things that we've been essentially living under for our entire lives will be replaced by something else. The only question is, and this is the big issue. And I warned about this in 2010 publicly. I said, there's going to be a power vacuum. The only question is, are we going to get something better or are we going to get something worse?
Are we going to get something better? Or are we going to get something worse? And these are financial planners that are saying, listen, everything's going to collapse. We know it's going to collapse. And it really is. If you would have been watching VFN TV all along, we've been talking about it prophetically. Rick Joyner talks about the true national debt that's out there in
Rick
the world.
Rick Joyner said that God showed him that collapse was coming. Not a reset, not a downturn, but he prophesied some time back a financial collapse.
Martial law's coming as well.
David Wilkerson saw it as well.
Oh, yeah. But martial law's coming, and it all depends on who that marshal is. That's why it's so important that you pray about who you're going to vote for. And to pray, you got to pray for our current president. Pray for protection over him.
Yes.
Pray that nobody does anything. Just pray for him. Pray that he finishes his term out. He and Michelle and Sasha and Malia begin their life, no longer in presidency. And then a new president comes in, a peaceful transition of power.
Like we've had here.
Yes. And we want to just pray. Don't speak against him. Don't join anybody saying anything negative about a president. Realize that it's the office. And just, we want a peaceful transition that's taking place. And some things God's been showing us. When everything collapses, everybody changes. When your boss don't pay you no more, you don't love your company no more. Yeah. A lot of people are that way, you know? And so let's look at what's happening here when you hear Michael Snyder talking on Jim Baker's program about a war is coming. And it all boils down to ever how you treated Israel.
Mm.
Let's take a look.
Michael, you said there had been reports that Turkish forces have actually entered and taken up position in northern Syria. Why is this important, and what should be, why is it potentially, what does it mean?
Yeah, we had talked about the problems in Syria before and how this could potentially be setting up war in the Middle East. Well, according to international news sources, not the U.S. media, the U.S. media is not talking about it, but according to Russian media, Iranian media, other international news sources, Syrian forces have actually not, they're not just shelling across the border now, not just conducting airstrikes, but they've actually crossed the border and taken up positions near the town of Afrin, near the town of Azaz. Now, I've probably butchered both of those names, but in particular, the town of Azaz, there's a very important highway corridor that goes through there, which Turkey has been using to supply the jihadists, to supply al-Qaeda, to supply the ISIS fighters, too. A lot of Americans don't realize this. But Turkey has been very determined to keep that corridor open. So now, not, you know, they've actually crossed the border, taken up positions in northern Syria. So their forces are actually sitting there in northern Syria. And now, of course, Turkey already has forces sitting in northern Iraq. A lot of Americans don't realize this either. And the Russians recently got very, very upset about that, saying, get your forces out of Iraq. You know, why do you sell forces in Iraq? But in Turkey, what we've got is we've got that we were told Turkey is our ally, right? We've got President Erdogan over there, who's basically become a dictator. And the kind of political rallies they hold over there are very reminiscent of 1930s Nazi Germany. We've got this extreme nationalism fueled by radical Islam. And in Turkey and President Erdogan, they dream of rebuilding the old Ottoman Empire. They believe in Turkey not just expanding their influence, taking more territory back. And so they've already, you know, got forces in northern Iraq and in northern Syria. And of course, they want to overthrow the Assad regime. That's been their goal all along. So the concern is, okay, now they've actually moved forces over the border. Is this going to escalate the conflict? What, will the Russians respond? Will the Syrian government respond? What's going to happen? But this represents an escalation of the conflict and of tensions there in Syria. And we've already had this five-year civil war, which was initially started and spearheaded actually by Hillary Clinton's State Department along with Saudi Arabia and Turkey. Hillary Clinton kind of came along. Remember, it was the Arab Spring back in 2011 and governments were being toppled. Well, Hillary Clinton came along with Saudi Arabia and Turkey and said, hey, it would be a great opportunity to overthrow Assad. And so that's how the whole ball of wax got started, which is, of course, has created this immigration crisis into Europe. And everyone's all upset about the refugees and everything else. But it all started because of Hillary Clinton's State Department. Now we're going to make her president? I mean, are we insane? It's crazy, Pastor Jim.
Whoa. Do you believe the stage is being set for the next war, the Third World War?
Well, Pastor Jim, I it's not going to start overnight, but I do believe that war is coming. In fact, on the DVD that we're offering today along with my book, I talked about specific prophecies about how war is coming to the Middle East. And in particular, I believe a great war is coming to Israel. Now, I believe something is coming first. I believe that there is going to be a declaration of a Palestinian state. In fact, for the first time ever this year, the Obama administration said it's now on the table, a UN Security Council resolution that would set the parameters for a divided land of Israel, a Palestinian state, a divided city of Jerusalem. It's on the table. They didn't say they were going to do it by the time that Obama's term ended, but for the first time they said it's on the table. Now, if they're going to make that move, Pastor Jim, it's almost certainly going to be before November, before the election. But, you know, Obama's coming up to the end of his second term, and he knows, well, this is my last chance. If I want to play a role in dividing the land of Israel, this is my last chance to do it. So we're going to watch this coming months very, very carefully, because when it happens, whether it's Barack Obama or someone else, someday a U.S. government, a U.S. president will have a role in dividing the land of Israel and in dividing the city of Jerusalem, whether it's a UN Security Council resolution or negotiations or whatever it is going to happen. And that's one of the most important prophetic markers that we're watching for, because once after that happens, basically all hell's going to break loose. We only have a few minutes on the program today. If you want to know what I'm talking about, get that video I did last night, because I talk about this in depth. Because we are going to see it divided at some point. There is going to be a declaration, a dividing of the land, but it's not going to last for too long, because subsequently, it's not going to set the stage for peace. It's going to set the stage for war. A great war is coming to the land of Israel, and it's going to be bloody. It's going to be horrible beyond anything we've ever seen. I mean, the small conflicts we've seen over there are nothing compared to what's coming. A great, great war is coming to the land of Israel, and the good news is Israel's going to win and get a whole bunch of her land back. The bad news is that there's going to be immense death and destruction on both sides, and it's going to be a horrible tragedy. Anti-Semitism in this country is going to go through the roof. Mm-hmm. But these are prophetic markers we're watching for that are coming up. So we need to watch these things closely. These events of these next few months could tell a lot, Pastor Jim.
Wow. Is it true that President Obama said we are to prepare for disasters? Or a disaster?
I wrote about it on the economic collapse blog. So, Pastor Jim, for years you've been telling people, get emergency food, get a supply kit, have an evacuation plan, do all these things to prepare. Well, guess who else is saying it? Barack Obama is saying it.
Finally.
Wow.
Now that he's leaving office, interesting.
But just at the end of last month, he came out, he went to FEMA headquarters, delivered this big speech saying, okay, American people, you need to get prepared. In fact, he said, you need to get prepared for a disaster. So did that have any kind of hidden meaning? People debate that or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he's encouraging people to get food, to get supplies, to have an evacuation plan, all these things Jim Baker's been saying for years. Well, this is one thing that Jim Baker and Barack Obama agree on.
So important, because we've been talking about it ourselves, 90 days of
for
preparation. If you subscribe today to the Torch newsletter, you get in your email, you go to vfntv.com, upper right-hand corner, click on subscribe now, and we'll send you prudent preparation.
Yes, as a
you still
gift.
Have time. Believe it or not, you still have time to prepare. We had the taste of what it's like to everything just to stop when five hurricanes hit the state
Gulf
of
Coast,
Florida,
yeah.
the Gulf Coast. And it changes everything. And the truth is, if you weren't prepared, you're not prepared. And you need to prepare. Biggest thing you need to prepare for, because how are you going to minister to others if you didn't prepare to minister to your own?
Yeah.
You're going to be in some cheese line somewhere trying to figure
something. Well, I just remember the other day
If
there is a cheese line. We just, the other day, lost internet all the way to Georgia.
The entire Gulf Coast.
And everyone's panicked. Wait a minute, we have no internet. Yeah. This is going to be a whole lot worse not having internet for 15 minutes.
Can you imagine these young folks without their little mobile devices?
What are they going to do?
They're going to look at them like, this movie. Steve liked this movie. What was that movie he liked? I don't know what it was.
I don't know.
I tried to survive it. I passed
out. But the
out
last
the beginning
hurricane.
Of it. But it's about these people that they've never moved around in their entire lives, and they fell out of a seat. Wally. And somebody touches him. He's like, what was that? Oh, it was like the Hamiltons.
Wow.
But somebody touches him, and all of a sudden he just realized, wow. And then the whole, hey, it could be good. It could be really good.
It could be a good thing.
Touch could come back again.
Imagine that.
Oh, my
That'd be
goodness.
Beautiful. That would be beautiful.
Listen, we come back. Speaking about touch, we're talking about love. This crisis is going on. We still have to love. Jesus says, love one another. As I have loved you, by this, all people will know you're my disciples if you love each other. The reason why it's difficult to find the church right now is not because the sign's not right.
Mm.
It's because our love is not right. And we're going to talk about that. And who better is an example of that than Dr. King, but also the citizens of Dallas, what they did on the streets of Dallas with the officers after the tragedy that took place in Dallas. First, we have this offer for you. Offer 2009, best place to stand when fighting the good fight of faith, Galatians 2:20. Not only is it important to know and to understand your enemy, it is just as important to be able to fight your enemy from a stable place where your footing is stable. We're clearly told that our enemy is not a physical enemy, but a spiritual one. Spiritual forces of evil, powers, and principalities. In this message, through sharing a vision that Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries had and he wrote about in Final Quest, we'll be able to identify the best place to fight the good fight of faith and to be able to set the captives free. But also, we'll set you above your enemy so your enemy's weapons can't even reach you, those spiritual enemies. It's a powerful teaching. Listen, Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in my body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. This is a powerful revelation. You'll find out more about it as a free offer for your gift of any amount. It's offer 2009, best place to stand when fighting the good fight of faith. You can simply just go to our website at vfntv.com and click on Parker and follow the prompts. Or you can write to us at VFNTV, 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Or you can even call at 844-408-3688. That's 844-408-3688. It's offer 2009 for your gift of any amount.
VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Well, old Vance Havner, that old evangelist from North Carolina, he used to talk about denominational tags. He said, you know, when you go down to hell, they all burn off. And when you go up to heaven, they all fall off. Amen. Amen.
We are in a major apostolic reformation season in the church. The church means fellowship in the Bible, but it also means strategia, warring. So in the midst of this season, God is raising up through our fellowship a warring unit that knows how to move forward to accomplish his purposes in the earth. We want you to know that you need to connect with an apostolic movement, or else you need to be a part of building an apostolic structure. And we want to encourage you as you move forward in this season of the church that you be a part of the apostolic church arising.
Relationships can unravel amid conflict and bitterness and hurtful words. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Here's psychologist Dr. David Clark offering his perspectives on why we so often fall short in our relationships.
We see 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. No one can do that without God's help. It's impossible. Ephesians 5, try Ephesians 5, where you love your wife as Christ loved the church and as you love your own body. Humanly speaking, can't do it. I tried for some years to do it on my own. I simply couldn't get it done. That was part of our journey of Sandy and I finding the spiritual bond. All of a sudden, I'm not loving Sandy. God's loving Sandy through me. Hey, that works like a charm. I can do that.
Your marriage isn't all about you trying to love your spouse. It's really a matter of God loving your spouse through you. And you'll find additional insights and trusted resources to help you do that at FocusOnTheFamily.com/marriage.
Which, by the way, if you haven't gone to the VFN Torchlight, you need to go to VFNTV.com. And in the menu, it says VFN Torch. There's all types of aspects to be able to just quick information at a moment's notice. Any topic that you can imagine probably is in there. And a biblical perspective, you know, what's actually happening. But what does the Word of God say about this? Including prophetic words of knowledge and wisdom that has been shared. So if you get a chance, go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch in the menu there. Oh, my goodness. Listen. Man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to VFNTV.com, mm-hmm. click on the podcast. Click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded into your stuff somehow, and you can mm-hmm. play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that... Yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. It's yours. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You're noticing that, you know, things are escalating. It's people are, hate's increasing. And that doesn't change God's expectations for us.
Hmm.
The sad thing is that there hasn't been a lot of love.
Yeah.
I mean, when it was easy to love,
mm-hmm.
there hadn't been a lot of love. We can take things for granted.
We're too blessed in America.
Yeah.
We're too blessed. I was thinking about this the other day.
People are losing it over a delayed traffic light. Can you imagine what it would be like if you're in a gulag or if you're...
Well, maybe that, I mean, it's nothing like tragedy to bring people together, and it's going to be a shame.
You remember the hurricanes? Everybody's like, hey, you prayed? Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. You're my neighbor.
To who? Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it would be a shame for us to have a tragedy like that. Where everyone has come together, yeah. You know, and we start realizing that
it's coming,
but it is coming. It is.
And
coming.
So, you know, and my challenge is, you know, is I want to be able to love. I want to be able to love as patient, love as kind, love as gentle, you know, just live like John's living.
Have challenges. I was like, wow, man.
Yeah. I'm trying to get my life like that. But who else than Dr. King, you know, here he is a Christian man, this American citizen, trying to, you know, God has given him an assignment, as his daughter says, that there needs to be rights for every human being in America. We need to live up to what's written in the Constitution. Haters all over the place, yelling and screaming. And even the police, obviously, if you looked at history, you know it. The police, there was just no safe place. But he comes back into his home, leaving the police department. And he, his relative, Naomi, is in the house in there. And she's going to fix him to describe what happened when Dr. King came back to his house. This is right before he kind of stepped up on the national platform. And he starts talking about that the police department grabbed his tie. And the tie, by the way, goes around your neck like a noose. And they tried to choke him by his own tie. As a matter of fact, we'll let her, Naomi, tell the story now as Dr. Avita King, his niece.
Yes, and his response may surprise you.
Get ready for his response, because that's the kind of response that we got to have. Love is unconditional with God and with us. There can't be conditions in there. Mm-hmm. You might want something to happen politically, but your love you should be loving everybody, no matter what party what race they are, economic standing they are. But let's go there and hear what Dr. King had to say at a moment of crisis.
Dr. King is the father of four children. And his firstborn was Yolanda Denise King, who's deceased now. And I was so happy when Yolanda was born on my birthday, which is November 17th, 1931. And Yolanda was November 17th, 1955. So I was just so happy that she was born on my birthday. I went to Montgomery, Alabama, where they were living, you know, at the time, just to see her and to welcome her, you know, into the family and to show some love to Yolanda. It was one night about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the evening, and I was seated in the darkened living room of their home while Coretta was in the back attending to Yolanda. And so ML, as we called him at that time, came in. And when he came in, I was glad he couldn't see my face because I was sitting in the darkened living room. And the only light that shone into the room was from the street light that was coming in through the window. So when he came in, he went straight to his mantle. And my nickname at that time was Nene, and that's all that he ever called me was Nene. So he went straight to the mantle, and he put his hand up on the mantle, and he had his back somewhat towards me, and I was glad he couldn't see my face. So he said, "You know what, Nene?" I said, "No, ML, what?" He said, "I was detained at the police station. And at that time, his shirt collar was open, and he was tugging at his throat with his finger doing his shirt collar like this. He said, I was detained at the police station. And you know what, Nene? I said, no, ML, what? He said, they tried to choke me to death with my own tie. And when he said that, tears came in my eyes. I said, what? He said, they tried to choke me to death with my own tie. And I said, at that point, I said, oh, ML, I said, I'm speechless. I just don't know. I just don't want to say that. He said, but you know what? He said, the more that they mistreat us and the more they abuse us, that should, he said, that's the more that we've got to love them and forgive them, because hatred is very much alive and we've got to love them. And I said, Oriabella, at that point I just couldn't control it. The tears just fell out of my face. And that was when I knew in my heart of hearts that he was destined to be the leader that he became because of his commitment and his love for God and his love for people. That is when I knew he was truly ready for the game, for the life that he would live.
That is so important, because can you handle the pressure? And it's like, can you love now while it's easy? And I see, you know, if you look in history, people who proclaim to be followers of Christ have done some pretty
bad things. You know, Dr. King said that an injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Yes. And so we can't be upset when just one particular group, there's an injustice. We have to really, as believers, have a heart of compassion when we're looking at everything that's happened all across the world, when what's happening in with the Yazidis in Iraq, the persecution of Christians, when 50 million of babies are aborted, you know, over since 1974, since Roe versus Wade was legal. When we look at Venezuela, and people right now are starving. They're hunting dogs, cats, and pigeons to eat right now.
And charging over the borders to be able to get food while they're sitting on all that oil.
Over 1 million children and women sex trafficked every year. And so, yes, there's a lot of gross injustice, but we need to pray that God will break our heart for injustice everywhere.
Yeah.
And that we
not just in our...
Yeah, it's easy to feel bad when we can easily identify it. And to be honest with you, it's easy not to address issues when it doesn't affect us. And T.D. Jakes says... Well, T.D. Jakes said that... You know, what we're facing now with the race wars is God's judgment on a silent church.
Yes.
God's
judgment on a silent church. The world's trying to have a discussion that only the church can have.
Yeah.
But the issue is in the church. So
that's right.
And you know, the Word of God just says, if you hate your brother who you can see and say you love God who you can't see, he says you're a liar.
Yeah.
What's the Word says. And so we can find out where we are in God by how we are to each other. And I mean, look at Dr. King right here where he says, listen, hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that.
Mm.
And darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. This is so important to understand that this is, if you go back to the writings of Jesus and not what some preacher is saying somewhere or some political party saying, Jesus said, if you don't give up your life and lay it down, you're not going to have any part of him.
Mm.
What we're known for, what we're supposed to be known for, is not our religious buildings and our doctrines or our 501c3s or our pancake breakfasts. We're supposed to be known that we love our enemies.
Yeah.
Love our enemies, not the people that are just like us, but to love our enemies. And we can really find out who we are. We respond to people this is an enemy. Anybody who gets in the way of your plans, your job, your money, what you want. I mean, how do you handle interruptions in your life? That's how we love. How do you handle people? Do you speak kindly of people? And I think about this. I think about in Black Lives Matters, these protest groups that's going on, and it's no official group, so a lot of people are kind of picking up on that, and they're protesting. But also these other protesters are coming in protesting, saying all lives matter. Well, here they were in this, you're about to see, where on one side of the street, they were saying Black Lives Matter. On the other side of the street, they're saying all lives matter. But at one moment in time, you know what they did? Just like Dr. King, they said, you know what? I'm going to put all this down.
That's right.
They crossed the street and started meeting each other, started talking to each other. They began to hug each other. They began to pray for each other. And the police officer that was helping keep them apart, they invited them into the prayer. This is what will change your community. This is what will change America. Let's take a look now.
I can't just sit back and feel this way without trying to change it.
You got the Black Lives Matter and stuff. We all matter, hell.
It's time for us to stop this today. No more walls.
Today, we're going to show the rest of the country how we came together.
Everybody get it in here, man. Everybody get it in. Everybody get it in. Everybody get it in. Everybody get it in.
And I thank you so much, as I am so humbled that you allowed us to come home, Tomsville. And that today, I pray again, thank you so much. I pray that everybody makes it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
A gentle word can turn around the most harshest, wrathful statement.
Mm.
But the whole thing is we have to be willing to lose. You have to be willing to not come in first. You have to be willing to suffer loss, to become a person of no reputation. And it's a lot easier when you find out the only one that's good is God. That's what Jesus, when they stopped him, they said, good teacher. Jesus said, who are you calling good? Only God is good. Are we ready to say that instead of using our lives like we're some measuring stick for righteousness? Jesus is the measurement for righteousness. Mm. Everybody that's a Christ follower, a Christian, that have made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, admitted to the fact that they're not. That's why they're a Christian, because they said, Jesus, would you forgive me because I've missed the mark? I am not that. I need to be forgiven. I need you to guide me. I need you to lead me. And that moment right there, when it looks like it's chaos, and it looks like it's totally divided, it's not going to work, love truly won out in that situation. I'm going to go right straight to Dallas, right after the massacre that took place in Dallas, of the five police officers that were protecting the First Amendment rights of the protesters that were protesting. And the protesters didn't do this, but there was one man who set up on top of a garage and began to fire intentionally, going to kill. He said, specifically, I came here to kill white people, specifically white police officers. And he began to fire in to these officers, killing them, shooting some of the citizens that were there as well. But five officers were murdered. Dallas is at a crisis point. America's at a crisis point. As we heard in the beginning of this program, we're about to run into crisis everywhere. What's the solution to this? Well, this is what the Dallas citizens did. They went down there and just spontaneously, when they saw the officers, they began to hug them and say, I love you and I appreciate you. As a matter of fact, I want you to see it. I want you to take this, any kind of religious head off and say, listen, this is what we got to do. Crisis. Blood was still on the streets. It was just the next day. Some of the bodies were still in the morgues of the officers that gave their lives. They didn't let things settle. They said, listen, we got to get there now and let them know that we love you. We appreciate you, that we can get through this. And I want you to take a look at this and just let it soak in, because this is what you need to do. This is what I need to do. This, anybody who proclaims to be a follower of Jesus Christ, we have to begin to love and affirm each other. Take a look.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Support out here pretty good?
Very much.
Thank you, sir. We need it
right now. We need to stay together as a community. We need to work closely. It validates right here that they are. It's hard work.
Okay.
It's hard work. We appreciate that. Thank you so much. Yes, sir. Well, thank you again. We need all the support. Appreciate this. It means a lot to us. Very much. Thank you.
I work in Southern West.
Oh, really? All right. Thank you so much. That means a lot to us. Thank you so much. Thank you.
I love you, and I'm so glad that you guys are here.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. There's no excuse for any more blood loss. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Could you not film me anymore?
Absolutely. Thank you, ma'am.
So you're looking at love. Mm. I mean, there was still blood on the streets of the massacre. The biggest massacre in the history of America outside 9/11 of officers. Mm-hmm. People are saying all kinds of things. It's amazing what you're hearing people say. Even our president, some of the things that he's like bringing in an agenda in the midst of dead police officers. Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense at all. Miss Alabama.
Yes.
Came up and she said that I don't know why I'm not
upset. I feel guilty that I'm not upset
about the death of officers. It's like, listen, what Dallas is doing with their police officers, everybody was doing, every gender, every race, all different walks of life. They were saying, we love you. We need you. Listen, we need our officers. You think the difficulty in Iraq, the reason why it couldn't kick back in again, because our soldiers were having to be the police.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't get people in the community to be the police because they knew if, to be a police officer, you got to risk your life.
Mm-hmm.
And every day officers risk their life for us to be able to have the freedom that we have.
Sure.
And some things are coming and what they're promoting, what they're doing, you want to affirm those officers because they're human beings.
But I love what T.D. Jakes was asked when he, what his comments when he was asked. He said, I'm not interested. He said, we're not against all police officers, but we're against those that practice police brutality, those who have been poorly trained or shouldn't have been selected at all.
Which is a very small number, and I would say they're actually getting that kind of work with now. But listen, I want to pray with you. I want these times are coming. You need to prepare yourself. Sign up for the newsletter now, The Torch, so you can hear prudent preparation. It'll come to your email right away. Go to VFNTV.com, upper right-hand corner, sign up for The Torch newsletter. You need to listen to prudent preparation. Why? Because a prudent man sees danger and prepares for it, but a fool keeps going and suffers for it. That's the scripture. I want to pray for you. Father God, we just thank you for these Dallas citizens who went to affirm and love these officers who experienced such great loss. I pray that you would comfort them. I pray that you would comfort the families of those that lost loved ones during injustices that take place throughout the United States. Lord, we just pray right now that you would protect America, that you would thwart the plans of the enemy over this country, that you would prevent those who want to turn this thing bottom side up, upside down, right, left, right. They want to create chaos in this nation, God. We pray that you'll have mercy on us, God, and that we would turn back to you. Do what end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on at VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.